In a way, both this gospel text, which is Luke 11 and following, 37 and following the verse, and the text from Galatians, which is the beginning of chapter 5, are teaching the same thing. Paul is quite correct, of course. Anybody who has themselves circumcised is obliged to the whole law. But if you're going to undertake the law as a means of justification, then Christ is of no profit to you, and you're not justified. Justified means being counted by God as a child of Abraham. It got to be a very individualistic thing in the 16th century, mostly through Martin Luther's preoccupations. He was a very sensitive guy, I guess, but the teaching he got was very poor, too. I think I just gave you that quote from Aquinas a few days ago, didn't I? You mean you forgot? This whole question of justification by faith, you see. Commenting on chapter 4 of Romans, Aquinas reads the text there. You know, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as justice. And that's going to be Paul's model, huh? And I'm going to try in the few minutes we've got to try to... What does he ends by saying? Faith working through love. That's all that counts. Faith working, or energized, energumeni, energized by love. And that's our Lord's answer to the observation of the Pharisee, that he didn't go through the regular ritual washings when he came into his house. The text goes like this. So Aquinas asks the question, well, then if he believed God and it was credited to him as justice, does that mean he merited justification by faith? He says, no. You have to understand, the very act of believing is the first act of righteousness which God works in the believer, by which the believer submits himself to the justification of God and receives its effect. That, you see, is the explosion of what Paul learned in his meeting with the Lord in Damascus, on the way to Damascus. There he was, going his way to put Christians in jail and maybe kill them. He stood there and watched Stephen get killed. And the Lord came to him in his mercy. And he said, Saul, which is the way they called him in his family, Savlos or Pavlos, but never. That's a family name. And he says, Saul, you know, why do you persecute? And Paul said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And that explosion, you see, first, the complete gratuity of the righteousness. He came to him when he was going the wrong way. And the union of the believers with Christ. These were the things that exploded in his spirit, you see. And that's why he's so clear. And so is Aquinas. Huh? God works in us, and we yield to that. And that's the mystery of grace. Justification is a work of God. So, whether we want to have some observances of washing the dishes in a certain way, it can be very helpful to remind you of where we're getting the food from. It's better than saying, Blessed are those who judge reserved of Christ our Lord, amen, and eat, you know. To really look at God and say, thank you for this food. It's a very good thing. But deeper is yielding to the work of God. See, I live now, not I, Christ lives in me. So what is faith then, you see? It's a yielding to the work of God. My friend St. Thomas again has a beautiful description. It's in another work of his, where he's talking about, you see, how the light of truth is desirable. It's not just for the mind. It's for the whole person, for the will. And so, you see, faith comes desirable. And the will has to go out to it. You just can't believe. It's not compelling evidence. Two and two are four, or the body expands, or the water expands at 4 degrees centigrade, or a falling body goes at 32 feet per second per second. Those are, you have to be compelled by the evidence. This, you know. And for us, that's the greatest knowledge in the world, whereas in fact, it's the lowest form of knowledge. But that's for another time. But you see, the truth is coming, the light. And it's appetible. It's desirable. You see. And to yield to that desire, you see, is to accept the truth that's beyond us. Now, if you watch closely, in every act of knowledge, there has to be some form of will. The will has to let reality in. The great sin for Paul in the pagan world was suppressing the truth about God. It's so obvious to the depth of the human being. And so you see, faith is a yielding to the truth. And it always begins in an act of love. The first act of faith always comes with an act of love. It has to. And we love God and we yield to Him. And that's faith. Then that love of truth, that love of God, is meant to carry us through life, to yield to God as He directs our lives, to yield to God out of a desire for God, and a desire, finally, to please God. See, that's what he means, you see. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. Only faith working through or being energized by love. That's what matters. And that's in the depth of our spirit. Well, then it means we have to stay in touch with the depth of our spirit, which means we have to pray. Don't you know that the depth of your being is yearning for God? Just get in touch there. You see, let the Lord uncover that desire. Yield and hold fast to the truth. It's never a truth you're going to dominate. It's a truth that dominates you. But it is such a sweet reality. God, the Blessed Trinity, His love for us, the death of Jesus on the cross, by which we are set free, His resurrection, which gives us new life. These are the realities that are opened to us by the gift of faith that is working through love. And that's our whole life. Live by that, and you won't sin. And you'll be filled. That's the promise.